Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
That's Flourish is brought to you by Grow Great Campaign. And I did say earlier on, we're going to be speaking to the great people at Grow Great. Lovely, lovely work that they do there. And really trying to make sure that young children in South Africa do not grow stunted. So let me welcome both of my guests in studio with us, Valerie Ntandeki.
Yes.
And you're a Flourish coach.
Yes, I am. Thank
you. Okay. Please come closer to your mic so that we can make sure that we can hear you well. Thank you so much for that. And I just want to also introduce my other guest, Dudu Mazia, as well. Thank you so much, Dudu, for coming in. Thank you, ladies, for being here with us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Dudu, you are what at Grow Great?
I'm the head of communication.
You're the head of communication. Yes. Okay, thank you so much, ladies, for coming through. We're going to be speaking about a very, very important milestone in the growth of young, well, babies, really. And you do work where, from before birth, actually, where you look after women while they're still pregnant and you take them through those journeys. How important is that phase of a baby's life, Dudu?
You know, that phase of a baby's life is so important because that's where cognitive development begins. That's where the conception phase is. And if that phase is missed, you're literally setting up a child for failure because they're unable to trace back and start rebuilding themselves once they've gone past that pivotal stage. So the first 1,000 days, as we refer to them, is when interventions actually take place to ensure that the child reaches their full capacity. And stunting deprives children of doing that. They're unable to reach their full potential because children don't reach their full cognitive capacity. They're unable to grasp basic concepts. And they struggle with day-to-day activities and being able to cope in class. And stunting is not only, you know, in health, you measure stunting by height. But stunting doesn't only affect height,
it
affects the way the brain functions, development, physical development, and really creates higher risk of chronic conditions within children and as adults as well.
I just want to speak to you, Valerie, because you're a coach. You see people on the ground.
Yes.
You get to interact with these mothers.
Yes.
Who many of them say, you know, I had no idea that I need to start looking after my baby before I even meet my baby.
Absolutely.
Outside of my womb. Just the impact of you interacting with them and the kind of things that they get to take with them that they say are absolutely new to them.
And you know what's strange is that, you know, even a mom of four will come into our Flourish groups and you'll be like, I'm hearing this for the first time. I thought I knew everything. Mm. So we basically cover all walks of life, you know, moms from all walks of life. So it doesn't really matter if you are a first-time mom, you are a young mom, you are an older mom, you have three other kids before, but all the moms always go through an aha moment, you know, when we
and every
take
pregnancy
them through the session.
Different.
Yes.
Every pregnancy has its own personality.
Absolutely.
So, Dudu, I think part of the biggest problem here is the socioeconomic realities in South Africa. For some, it's not that they don't want to do the right thing. It's that life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the stats. We know how difficult life is for many, many South Africans. Unemployment rife. People just don't have enough food to go around. So when you do a program like this and you try and meet this need, how great is the need?
The need goes beyond great. It's actually a priority. And it actually should be a government priority. That's how great it is. Food insecurity is a real problem in South Africa. And currently, malnutrition is a core driver of stunting within children. And malnutrition is driven by either chronic hunger or eating the incorrect food that doesn't have the correct nutrients inside. Yeah. And we're looking at high carbs, high fat, just to feel satiated. But ultimately, we're just building another chronic disease in children as well. So it's just not only important work, it's a priority that government should, you know, really, really take the lead on. And, you know, with elections coming up, really hoping to see those manifestos really talking about food insecurity and what they're going to do for our children and for the country. And that's how serious the issue of stunting parenting is, because ultimately it's not about solving the problem of now, it's about solving a generation of children who should be more upskilled, more employable, more attractive. We're building entrepreneurial minds, and you can't build an entrepreneurial mind if a child is going to class hungry. They're unable to think, they're unable to grasp concepts. Then we are building a hungry nation, and a hungry nation is an angry nation. And that's not the South Africa that I think our forefathers fought for.
You've been advocating for a food basket that we should all be talking about right now, but all those policies are taking so long to come through. Why do you think that is?
I think those policies are taking so long to come through only because of there's the private sector and then there's also the public sector. And, you know, when there's profit in the picture, it's very hard to almost drive through.
Because you want them zero rated.
We want them zero rated. Or at least, you know, drop down by 30%. And we're currently not getting that, because as much as vegetables are currently zero tax rated, potatoes are expensive. Have you seen the price of potatoes?
Yeah.
Basic foods like maize meal, the price is expensive. And our grant currently is 350 Rand. Our basic income grant is 350 Rand. And the child support grant is about 540 Rand, which is below the food poverty line. The food poverty line is currently sitting about 740 Rand. So that's still not enough to feed a family of two. So it's either the food prices go down or the grant goes up. And currently, looking at our current economic situation, we can't afford to raise up the grant. We really can't, because we're already struggling to even pay out some of those grants in other instances as well. And we've seen that with the basic income support grants.
What comes through when you speak to the ladies, Valerie, on the ground? What seems to be the hardest, the biggest stumbling block for them?
In terms of nutrition, obviously, we are in a country where our unemployment rates are already very high. So also with the effects of COVID, people are just struggling throughout. So moms are really, really struggling to feed their babies. And I think also just the lack of support. For instance, I mean, you would assume that it's free to breastfeed a baby, you know, a newborn. But, you know, most moms don't understand the importance and the repercussions. It has not just been positioned as something fashionable to do. It's something that's looked upon as old-fashioned and so forth. Every mom wants the latest brand of the bottle, you know, feeding bottle, and all of these factors. So basically, the lack of support, of which that's where Flourish comes in. We try and support the moms to, you know, make better decisions and, you know, take more informed actions in terms of feeding. But then again, you know, it's well and good to support a mom and encourage a mom to breastfeed.
I was going to say society in general,
you know,
doesn't have that embracing way of seeing some of what is really important for the child and the mother.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, again, going back to the issue of unemployment and poverty, it's well and good to advocate for exclusive breastfeeding, but how do you encourage someone who is hungry
herself
to breastfeed?
Yeah. And so how are they coping with, I mean, I know that there's the support that you give as Flourish, but how are you finding mothers are coping out there?
Who are they coping? You know, I would say people in general are resilient. There is that resilience that comes, you know, naturally, especially when you are a mom, you will fight to, you know, not only to just survive as yourself, but to also make sure that your offspring survives. So it's just the general resilience that people have that helps them cope.
The stunting that we speak of, I think sometimes it's very intellectual, and people don't understand or believe that South Africa has got number one children that sometimes die from malnutrition, and because we don't talk about those stats, especially those who don't survive. And those who are stunted, people will give it all sorts of other names, you know. But no one really goes to the heart of what is wrong with our children. Why are they not developing fully? Just your take on how we have overlooked, in a way, kind of, I don't know, because I think maybe we don't want to interact with the reality because mm-hmm. it's too difficult, or is it because it's better not to? We don't hear, you asked about politicians, we talk to them every day. Nobody brings up stunting. Nobody brings up stunting. Mm. Nobody brings up food security in the way in which we should be talking about food security.
Yeah.
They're talking about manifestos now, and I can tell you now, I have not heard not a single one talk about malnutrition in children.
Oh, those red flags. The reason why stunting is a very complex issue, and like I said, in health, you measure stunting by looking at a child's growth. But in essence, stunting is actually a form of malnutrition itself. So we often look at obese children and say, oh, that child looks so healthy. Meanwhile, that child is actually stunted and obese and more likely to develop.
And malnourished.
And malnourished as well. So it's such a complex issue. And because a child doesn't say on a death certificate, it doesn't say cause of death, stunting. It'll be acute malnutrition. It'll be something else. So it's easy to actually avoid the topic.
Mm.
Unlike we've seen with other diseases like, you know, HIV and AIDS, where you know what the cause of death is and the numbers were slightly higher. So people were able to take action. It's easy to kind of push it underneath the carpet and try and avoid those issues around malnutrition and the burden that it actually has on the country. But it's something that has been kept quiet for so long, and that's why as Grow Great we're advocating for stunting and malnutrition actually having interventions within the first 1,000 days, because that's the most critical stage of a child's life.
If so many people are going hungry, which we know to be a fact, why are so few people talking about it?
People don't know enough. I honestly feel that people don't know enough. And also, if you are hungry and looking for something to eat, are you going to be making noise about, I am hungry, or are you going to go look for more food? You are going to try by all means to go look for your next meal and try find a way and means to survive. Mm-hmm. And people's priorities right now are just to make it to the end of the day and to survive, and really not fighting and looking for food. And that's where we come in to say, but guys, meet us halfway. Let's advocate for the double discounted food baskets. Mm. You know, let's really help empower our communities and empower children as well in the long run.
And it takes a lot for someone to admit with pride that we are going hungry.
Mm.
It takes a lot for someone to raise their hands because it goes to dignity as well.
And just to add on that, so it's a complex issue because again, it takes information. If you eat pap and soup every day, you don't think you are hungry. You just don't understand that what you are eating has zero nutrients.
It's not
feeding you. It's not going to the most important parts of your body. So you will not make noise about it because you're thinking, at least there's a plate in front of me.
And all sorts of other things that you're feeding the children. I think you've seen those terrible, I don't even know what to call them.
Yeah.
All sorts of colored stuff that they, in plastics. I don't know what to call them because they're not even chips. I don't know what that thing is.
Yeah.
It's not potato. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But you see a lot of children running around with these plastics of, and they get full. So how does Flourish help the health system? How, just maybe if you can just give us a sense of the entire program, how does it assist the mother and the baby?
All right, so first of all, we start off by training women from the communities on the program. Once they are fully trained and licensed, they will go back to their communities and recruit pregnant moms and moms with babies under 6 months old. And have them in these platforms where they sit around a table and they speak, you know, on different topics. So our classes go through 10 sessions and we talk about issues of
Point of View with Phemelo Modi.
Talk about
it's our fault. It's a fault. So sorry, Valerie. Go ahead.
No problem. So we speak about the importance of early clinic booking. So basically connecting our actions or the mom's actions to the baby's outcomes, you know. So when it comes to at least elevating the burden from the health system, we see how our public health system is already burdened, especially the public clinics, the public hospitals, overburdened with patients and so forth. And the nurses there don't just in reality don't have time to, you know, unpack messages and, you know.
They don't have time to teach you how to get the baby to latch on.
They don't have time to do health talks. They're overwhelmed.
They don't have time.
And if it doesn't happen the first time, you give up, you cry, and you're looking for the next
And you go buy the alternative that's full of sugar.
You get the tin?
That is where Flourish comes in. So when we have, for instance, a session on breastfeeding, you know, it's the moms, you know, sharing these experiences that, you know, I cannot breastfeed, you know. And because they don't understand why it's not happening, they will just say, I did not have enough milk, so I stopped and whatever. So that's where we come in. We encourage on relactation. We encourage on, you know, the correct ways of latching and, you know, show moms these things practically, and they get to hear from, learn from one another also from different experiences, and they just
and
feel
that sometimes
supported
it happens.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Sometimes it happens. There's nothing wrong with you.
Absolutely.
And you just, how long are you with the mother and the baby for?
So ideally for 10 sessions for each program. So if it's antenatal program, we'll take them through 10 sessions with different themes. If it's a postnatal program, so the first prize is to have them over 20 sessions, you know, both antenatally and postnatally. Yes. But sometimes we meet them after they've given birth, and therefore we just take them through the postnatal program. And sometimes our antenatal moms don't get to do the postnatal sessions because then they have to go to work.
They've
and,
got other,
and,
life,
and
challenges.
Other life challenges.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.